Hello and welcome to a special bonus episode of the Net Mums podcast, the parenting podcast that is committed to supporting you through the highs and lows of parenthood. We believe that parenting is easier when you have access to the right knowledge and support, and we aim to offer everything parents need to feel confident and informed. I'm Louise Burke, the editorial director of Net Mums and a parent to three kids. And today we're diving into a topic that's right at the heart of so many modern parenting dilemmas, keeping our teens safe online. Now, whether your teen is already scrolling, swiping, and story posting, or you're just gearing up for the next phase of parenting, we've got something important for you today. We're thrilled to be joined by Tara Hopkins, Meta's Global Director of Public Policy and a fellow parent, to talk about Meta's teen accounts, which they introduced on Instagram last year and now on Facebook and Messenger, and the new features designed to protect our kids while they explore social media. Tara, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start from the top. Let's explain to our parent community just exactly what are teen accounts and also the thinking behind Instagram and Meta launching the teen accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, thanks so much for having me. I think it's going to be a really important conversation. We can go quite deep on some of these things. So Instagram teen accounts, we launched last September 2024 in the US, in the UK, Australia, Canada. And now we're rolling them out globally. And in essence, what they are is that we automatically place teens into our most restrictive settings on Instagram when they're in the Instagram teen account experience. And that means that we're restrictive and more protective on who can contact a teenager, the content that they see to make sure that it's age appropriate for them and for their age, and the time that they spend on Instagram. And the reason we did this was I've been at Instagram for 6 years, but for well before my time, for over a decade, we've been building tools for teens and for parents to keep them safe while they're using Instagram. But what we found was parents were like overwhelmed, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think we all know and feel what that's like as a parent. And so in the last couple of years, we went out, we really had very intentional conversations with parents about what are the things that you're most worried about and what can we do? What can we build? How can we bring this together to take the burden off parents? And so what we did with teen accounts was exactly that, because teen accounts for any teen who's under the age of 18, they're automatically defaulted into these more protective experiences. Nothing the parent has to do. They can just know that in the background, if their teenager is under the age of 18 and in the UK, they have by now been moved across into the teen account experience. What we've also done is we've differentiated between the older and the younger teens and what their experience should be. And again, that was based on expert advice, academics, child psychologists, working with organisations like Parents Own in the UK. And again, listening to parents. Like, a parent is thinks very differently about their 13 or 14-year-old boy or daughter or son than they do about their 17-and-a-half-year-old son or daughter. And so what we really wanted to do was respond to that. So when you're in the teen account experience, it's everyone under the age of 18. But if you want to change any of the settings to a less restrictive or a less protective version of those settings, if you're under the age of 16, you can't do that. You can't do that without getting the parent to approve that change. And we think that is the right way to do it. If you're that older teen, you have a bit more autonomy, you're a bit older, you know, you're coming up to your kind of adulthood. But if you're between the ages of 13 and 15, you cannot change any of these more protective settings without getting the parent involved in the conversation. And the last thing we've done is we've provided a parental supervision experience, which, so if the teen does want to change any of those settings, the parent is asked to approve it through this parental supervision settings. But if the parent wants to go in and set up parental supervision independent of that, they can. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, responding to parents. Some parents want to have more insight. And so in parental supervision, you can go that bit deeper. So you can see who your teenager has been messaging over the last 7 days. You can't see the messages themselves, but you can see them, who the accounts are that your teenager has been messaging over the last 7 days. And you can do things like you can look at the dashboard and see the amount of time your teenager has been spending on Instagram. And you can also see who's following your teen and who they're following back on Instagram. So you can go that little bit deeper if you want to. But we also, as I said, want to take the burden off parents so that they know that their teen is automatically defaulted. But if they want to go a bit deeper and have more insight, that's also available to them.
As a parent of tween, I haven't got teenagers yet, but I have got a tween who's absolutely desperate to get onto social media, but I'm trying to keep her off it for as long as I can. Yeah, but even to hear you talk through that, it is reassuring to hear that there are these inbuilt automated tools as soon as they sign up. How successful have these tools been?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we launched it in English-speaking markets last September. And then we've been globally rolling it out over the last few months. And it still has actually some ways to go in some of our bigger markets like India and Japan. But what we are able to announce is that we now have over 50 million teenagers have been moved into the teen account experience on Instagram, which we're really pleased with. It's a big number. I think it's actually 54 million teens are now in the teen account experience. So that's just technologically a huge feat because behind the scenes, we're just automatically moving teens across. And that means that every teen under the age of 18 who's in the teen account experience, their account has been set to private by default. And all of these settings, like they cannot be contacted by someone they don't know who they're not already connected with, again, moved automatically into that experience. So technologically, it's like actually quite a big lift, but we're really pleased. It's been going really well. It hasn't been kind of too buggy. And that 54 million, I think, just shows it. And we expect that to really increase globally as we go to some of those even bigger markets. The other thing that we've seen, which I think is really encouraging, is that 97% of the teenagers that we've moved into the teen account experience, who are between the ages of 13 and 15, they're staying in those more protective experiences. They're not actually asking the parent for approval to go into those kind of the less restrictive version of that. I think that's really good news because it means the teens are either they're not noticing, which is fine by us. They're just enjoying Instagram in the exact same way they were before. They're connecting, they're having fun, they're, you know, sharing some fun things with their friends and loved ones. But they're not trying to ask the parent for that approval. So we think that's really good news. We'll see how that keeps tracking. We do also encourage parents to set up the parental supervision, but you know when you have a teen yourself whether or not you want to go that little bit deeper. And we would encourage parents to set up parental supervision, but also just that knowledge in the background. We're all busy parents. I'm a parent to a tween and a teen. That is just happening behind the scenes. So we're really pleased with how it's tracking. I would say that the work will never be done. And what we're trying to do is use the teen account infrastructure, I suppose, to add on additional tools which I can talk about. We can go into in a little bit more detail as well.
Well, yeah, we'll come up to those. You mentioned before about, you know, all parents now are time poor and we're busy. And to be honest, we're all juggling way too much. And while it's great to have so much information at our fingertips, whether it be through social or online or podcasts or TVs, from psychologists and charities and all various experts, it's all brilliant. Sometimes it feels overwhelming. I think ultimately, like you just said, no one knows your kid as well as you know them as well. So I think sometimes a lot of this parental supervision, the tools are great, but apply them to your own child. You know your child. Some of the parents in our community do find navigating technology or navigating their teens through the digital age quite complex and overwhelming and daunting if they're not used to using technology themselves. And also it's just another thing, right? It's another thing on the list to go, oh God, give me a minute. Let me get my glasses. Let me have a look at these tools. That said, I did speak to some parents in our community and they were saying how easy the tools were to navigate. They found it very easy and informed sort of platform to just sort of make their choices that they wanted to do as a parent. What would you say to those parents who maybe are less informed or even putting too much trust into their teenagers?
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, I feel overwhelmed. I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son, and I feel overwhelmed by it. And you know, and I work in the tech industry. So I just would say to your listeners, like, be kind to yourself. It's a complicated world to navigate. And that's why we on the Instagram side are trying to make it just that bit easier for parents and really listening to them. I would say there's a few things. We have used language. We did a lot of research about how to speak to parents and how to speak to teens when we're setting up teen accounts. So every teenager gets sent a notification to explain what's going on and why they're being moved into the teen account experience. And we've used language that really resonated with teens. So to make sure that they appreciate that nothing's going to change, they're still going to have the same Instagram. It's just going to be a bit more protective, and we think that they will appreciate it. Like, teens like to be protected. They might pretend otherwise, but actually they do, particularly those younger teens. So we've used language, and similarly used language that really speaks to parents as well. I would say we've seen some research, and it's kind of mind-boggling, that teens nowadays, and adults as well, some of us have up to 40 apps on our phones.
Yeah.
And these aren't necessarily social media apps. They like might be the school might have an app, and your Google Maps, and
or three.
Exactly. Sports clubs. Like, there is a lot going on your phone, and I think that's why we really wanted to take the burden away and just automatically default teens into it, but also give parents, if they do want to do a deeper dive and see, have more insights. That's why we've set a parental supervision in a way that actually does give parents, in a really simple and easy way, access to be able to set up the parental supervision tool and do that really easily. I would encourage parents, if you're not already on Instagram, to be on Instagram or any other social media app that your teenagers are using, because it's just important to know the functionality of it and how it works, etc., so that you can have those offline conversations. And then the other thing I would do is just encourage parents to look at, there's Instagram/teen accounts, and there's the Family Centre, the Meta Family Centre. And there are some really, really helpful guidance out there, how to have conversations with your teenagers, how to start conversations with your teenagers, how to have conversations with, you know, female teenagers versus male teenagers, because they use it in very different ways. I see my son uses gaming far more than my daughter. And so, you know, try to really help parents to navigate that and make it just that little bit simpler. But I would say, like, we're all in it together. And if you have conversations with your friends, I think you'll find that everyone is finding it hard. But look, our children they're digital natives. And I'm a child of the 1970s. I'm not a digital native. But my teenagers are. And you really have to meet them where they are. I think that's really important. But hopefully that you feel that there are certain apps that you do feel the burden has been taken away, and you feel a certain level of confidence when your teenager is using that particular app. We hope in this instance, Instagram, that you feel good about it, and you know that behind the scenes that we're taking it incredibly seriously.
It's interesting how you make the comparison between us as parents maybe not being digitally native and the kids are. And your stat earlier about the 97% of 13 to 15 year olds are sticking within the supervision tools and not even requesting to go beyond them. That doesn't massively surprise me, I have to say, just because I feel like young teenagers now, there's so much awareness around fake news, inappropriate content, harmful content. I think some of those kids in that age group are a little bit scared of seeing something they don't want to. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me massively that they would challenge those tools so much. I think they almost would welcome them in a sense.
I think that's right. And I think when you speak in their language about it, you know, they when we did research with teenagers, and we talk to teenagers all the time, they didn't love some of the language to begin with, the idea that they were going to be more protected or we were doing it for safety. And so therefore we actually changed some of the language so that it was basically saying to them, you're going to have exactly the same experience you've had before, but probably better, because you're going to be able to spend your time on the things that interest you, and you're not going to see content that either doesn't interest you or isn't appropriate. So we have the sensitive content control. So that is set to see less. So this is content which, you know, We have very strict rules around what you can and can't post on Instagram and on Meta services more broadly. And so when we find that content, we remove it. But this, the sense of content control is actually about content that's just sensitive, as I said, by its very nature. It's not content that violates our policies. And an example I often use for this is a video for a movie like The Godfather. So, you know, those of us who remember it, like, it's an extraordinary movie, but it's violent. And so if you're a 13 or a 14-year-old, you don't want to necessarily come across that kind of content. We would categorize that in the sensitive content control. So we have it turned on to see less. And really what we want is that teenagers are seeing content that interests them, that brings them joy. You know, the vast majority of teenagers are using our platforms are just having fun with it, spending 10 or 15 minutes, then going off and doing something else. We absolutely don't want them to come across something that's upsetting or mm-hmm. they don't want to see. But we also want them to know that if they do, it's okay to have that conversation with the parents, and that there are ways of, you know, going out and blocking certain accounts, etc. So we want to give them that protective experience. We also want them to know that if something does come across their you know, their feed, or whether it's on Instagram or anywhere else, that actually they can talk to people about it, and they can, that there are actions that they can take to give them a bit of agency around it as well.
Let's be honest, there are teens who don't quite play to the rule book, and they will sign up for an Instagram account with a fake date of birth. I know you've had measures in place since September with the teen account tools, but do you just want to clarify exactly how you're navigating those teenagers that may be signing up to Instagram with a fake date of birth?
Yeah. So again, it's a great question. We've all been teens, right? We've all tried to circumnavigate systems in the past. And I think, again, for parents out there to know that there are many, many people working across Instagram and Meta. I think we have over 40,000 people now who work on safety and integrity issues. We were all teens once. Like, we know what teens are up to. So I think just that level of reassurance. So there are a number of ways we do this. We say we have like a multi-layered, it sounds a bit jargonistic, but a multi-layered approach to knowing and understanding age. The first thing is we ask for age when you first join Instagram. And, you know, we do really encourage people to give us their correct age, because then we can build an age-appropriate experience, the knowledge of that age. But we do recognise that some might do it accidentally, or they might misstate it for different reasons. And so so at the moment, if a teenager is under the age of 18 and they try to change their account to over the age of 18, so they try to change their date of birth, the system will know that it isn't their birthday, and will ask them to go through an age assurance process. And that is basically a video selfie or to send in ID. And the video selfie is from, it's a third party, it's called Yoti, it's actually a British company, where they upload a video selfie. That data then gets, you know, removed. It's privacy protective. And then the system can see whether or not the match of that video selfie is to the age that they're telling us they have on their account. If it doesn't match, obviously we're not going to let them change their date of birth. Similarly, if you're reported, if an account is reported to us, pretty much for anything, the reviewers will go through a process of looking at the age that the account says it is, and actually some of the signal in the account as to whether or not they are that age. And again, we'll ask them to go through the age assurance process. And then the third thing we are doing, actually, we are investing quite heavily in enhanced AI to find teenagers who in the past may have misstated their age. And we're going to be launching this quite shortly in the US to begin with, whereby we're going to be able to find those teenagers and then move them automatically into the teen account experience. It's important that we get this right, because what we don't want happening is that we are moving 23 and 24-year-olds into the teen account experience. That's a horrible, you know, that'll be a gluggy experience for them to have. We want to make sure we get this right, which is why we're really investing in the technology around it. And then the last thing I'd say, and this is beyond Meta and beyond Instagram, is, as I said before, we're hearing from teens that some of them have, you know, multiple apps that they're using on their phones. We think there's another level here that we can use to be able to give parents that peace of mind, which is at the app store level. So that means, again, a bit jargonistic, that means that Apple or Google or we, Meta, have an app store because we've got Reality Labs, we've got devices, you know, we've got Reality Labs devices that we also produce. That when a teenager gets the phone for the first time, and often actually it might be before they're 13, it might be when they're 11 or 12. That seems to be kind of the age in the UK when you're kind of finishing your primary school.
Yeah, it's 91% of 11-year-olds own a smartphone now.
It seems to have become like a rite of passage, which I have to say I felt that pressure when my daughter was 11. And,
same.
So you share the age of the owner of that phone or the user of that phone when you buy the phone, whether it's with Vodafone or with Apple or wherever. And what we're asking for actually is that signal is shared at the App Store level, and that the App Store is asking for parents of any teen under the age of 16 to give parental approval to download an app. And that's not to say that we won't take our responsibility seriously. We will continue to invest in AI technology to use our multi-layered approach to age. But I think, again, speaking to so many parents who do feel overwhelmed, and there's a privacy aspect to this as well, where you don't want to have to share your date of birth and IDs and things like that with, you know, multiple apps. Mm-hmm. It would be so much easier if you could just do it at the App Store level, and then that signal is shared with all the apps that are using are on that App Store, and then we'll know and understand that the age we think you are on our app absolutely matches the age that the App Store thinks you are. And I think that will give us, and also I think really give parents a sense of again, a sense of easing the burden, that they know that the right age is being shared. It doesn't have to be done too often, and that all the apps are creating content knowing exactly the age of that teenager. I think that would be really revolutionary and really would change, I think, the way the industry works together on this, but also how parents will feel a bit of a sense of ease and take some of that burden off their hands.
I totally agree with that. I think to lessen the burden for parents, anyway, whether it be default settings when you purchase the phone or something that is flagged at purchase level, is definitely a way forward.
Yeah, there are these moments that we really think we could probably utilize them, that the information is shared at that particular moment in a really, really effective way.
Yeah, because I think we're all responsible, aren't we? It's not just parents who are responsible here. But today we're talking as well, because in the next couple of months, you're rolling out some new tools within the teen accounts. Do you want to talk me through some of the new features that you have, that you're introducing to the new teen accounts?
Yes, absolutely. So as I said, we've built an infrastructure, which we're calling the teen accounts experience on Instagram for everyone under the age of 18. We're going to be adding two more default settings into the teen account experience. One is the ability to go live on Instagram. So IG Live, for those of you who might be familiar or those of you unfamiliar, it's an ability to be able to go live kind of in broadcast mode, I suppose, on Instagram. And then people who follow you can follow along to your live and they can comment, etc. Honestly, it's really fun, and a lot of people use it, a lot of creators use it. We've had that defaulted that if you're under the age of 18, you actually can't go live. What we're doing now is that if you're under the age of 16, you cannot go live unless you get that parental approval to do so. Some teenagers might want to do it for like really fun reasons. That's great, but I think it does speak to the fact that if they do, they should be having a conversation with their parents and saying, "I want to do an IG live. Are you okay with that?" And then the parent can say, "What does that actually mean? Who can contact with you? Who can connect with you while you're on IG live, and why?" So we're defaulting that. So if you're under the age of 16, you can't go live unless you've got parental approval. And the second one is the nudity filter on Instagram, which again, your listeners probably don't know that, but we've long had a nudity filter on Instagram. And this is in your IG direct messages. And if you're under the age of 18, again, this is defaulted to on. So it means that we blur any nudity in your direct messages. Again, I just want to reassure parents out there that we have really strict rules about sharing of nudity, sharing of any kind of sexual content on any of the surfaces like posting, etc. But in IG, this is the nudity filter is in messages. And so if you're under the age of 16, again, You cannot change that filter, any of the settings on that filter, unless you're having a, unless you get parental approval. I would fully imagine this is one of those ones where 97% of teens don't ask their parents and just stay in those more protective settings. And we hope they do, because we don't want them to come across content, you know, that's inappropriate or accidental, in particularly in their direct messages, because that can feel very, very personal. So we're adding both of those new, not new tools, the tools we've had for quite a long time, but we're just making it that bit harder and more protective for teens, that they cannot change any of these settings without parents being involved in the conversation. And the last thing is that we're rolling out teen accounts, or launching teen accounts, I should say, in both Facebook and on Messenger. So we really want this to be what we call a family of apps tool. Parents maybe are a bit more familiar with Facebook than they are with Instagram. Teens maybe use Instagram more than they use Facebook, but actually, you know, we've got a lot of teens on Facebook as well. And so we're rolling it out on both Facebook and Messenger.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the new nudity filter will be very welcomed by parents, because, I mean, that's sort of your worst fear for your young child seeing any harmful image. And, you know, I sort of explained to my tween, like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And it is a traumatic sort of image that leaves a bit of an imprint in their brains, I think. So
absolutely.
I think that would be a welcome feature.
It's really important. And so it's blurred. So you can't see it. And as I said, it's, there's something very, very personal about your direct messages. We absolutely recognise that, and that's why we've taken that step to, you know, make it impossible for a teen who's under the age of 16 to change that filter without having the conversation with their parent. Which, as I said, I don't imagine that conversation is going to happen, but, you know, who knows? It might, and hopefully it will lead to some good discussions at home.
Yeah. Something that's sprung up, and as we've been talking, we talked about language, or you were talking about the language you've used, and you sort of really worked hard at reviewing the use of language when building these teen safety tools. And I keep hearing the word restriction, yeah. Which I'm clear there are restrictions, right? But when you're dealing with teens don't like being restricted, right? So I guess that's a challenge when you've been building these safety tools, because you want to protect those young minds and those young people, but you have also got to bear in mind that they are growing into young adults, the sort of older end of the teens, haven't you? Can you explain how you've been able to continue a level of trust in relationship between parent and teen with some of the tools that you've created? Because I know there's certain levels of what parents can see.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, and I think this is one of the things that's really quite new and different about Instagram teen accounts, is that differentiation between the experience that the younger teen has and the experience that we're giving the older teen. And again, very much based on expert advice, that not every teenager is the same, let alone a teenager who's 13 versus a teenager who's 17. And what we want to do is create an environment for teenagers who are younger that is protective. All teenagers under the age of 18, I should clarify. But that if you're that older teenager, you're 16 or 17 years old, actually you do have a little bit more autonomy to change some of those settings. But parental supervision actually is for any teenager under the age of 18. And again, we built this because, you know your teen best. You might have an extremely kind of mature 14-year-old or 15-year-old daughter or son, and you might have a 17-year-old who actually hasn't really matured yet. And it's kind of these things, you know, these things can show up very differently in very different times for teens. I know with myself and my I've got three brothers, how we all developed and changed and became, you know, kind of more mature at very, very different stages. And so parental supervision is for any teenager under the age of 18. And if you are in the parental supervision tool, you can supervise a teenager who is 16 or 17. I think it also, honestly really works for parents who might have a neurodiverse child or a child with any kind of special needs, where basically they might be 17, but actually maybe it's better for them to be in these more protective settings. And as you said, when you're in the parental supervision tool, you can do a bit more. So you get more insights. You can see who's been messaging your teen over the last 7 days. You can see who your teen is following. You can also go a bit further with the time restrictions. And that's something we haven't talked about. But with teen accounts, there are two time restrictions that we've built into the experience. One is that after 60 minutes, the teenager gets a notice to say it's enough and put the phone down, put the app down, I should say. And the second one is sleep mode. And this came up over and over again with experts. So there really is no conclusive evidence or a view that there's a certain amount of time that is right or wrong for your teen to spend on social media or gaming or whatever else it might be. That really does depend on the teen and what they're doing with that time. Like if they're kind of endlessly scrolling, is the horrible expression, which I hate, but you know, that's probably not good for them. If they're looking at Instagram because they're doing an art project and they're researching, that might take them an hour and a half on a Saturday. That's probably a very good use of their time. So I think there's really inconclusive evidence about what is the right time limit.
And also what they're doing outside of the screen time as well.
Exactly, yeah.
It's a balance.
But what there is conclusive evidence around is sleep and how important sleep is for teens. Like teenagers are developing and they really need their sleep, as we all know if we've got tweens and teens and, well, any children. But so sleep mode is on between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m. Defaulted on for everyone under the age of 18. But if you're in the parental supervision tool, so if you go that kind of bit of a step further, you can actually completely block Instagram using the parental supervision tool for however much time you think your teenager needs to have that time block. So it might be during school, it might be at night, that 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., that might be the right amount of time for your teen, but actually you can extend that if you want to. And as I said, you can make it fully blocking if you're in the parental supervision tool. So we have tried to give those enhanced tools for parents who do wish to be a bit more involved. But even if they're not, these time restrictions are on teen accounts and defaulted to all teens as well.
And just to be clear, for a parent to supervise their child's teen account, yeah, do they need an Instagram account themselves? And do they operate it from their own handset?
Yes, they do. So they do need to have an Instagram account themselves. And I should say the teen has to give permission to be supervised by the parent. And we think that's important. We think it's important that the teen and the parent are both kind of bought into it. And they both want to be in that experience. What you don't want is that a parent kind of forces a teen into it because they, you know, the teen will probably not use Instagram, frankly, or, you know, set up a fake account or something. That we don't want that to happen. We really want it to be a good experience for both the teen and the parent. So we do ask that there's you know, approval is given on both sides to set up the parental supervision. However, if the teen is under the age of 16, I sound a bit like a broken record here, they cannot change any of those settings unless they do set up the parental supervision. So let's say I'm the teen and you're the parent. I want to change some of my time limits. I want to have less restrictive time limits on my Instagram account. And I try to go from having that 60-minute break to having, say, a 30-minute break. What happens is it'll say, you can't do this without parental approval. Click here to get parental approval. So we would set up the supervisory tool. You might give permission. Great. You might say, that's fine. I don't mind 30 minutes a day. That's okay by me. But then the teen might say, you know, haha, I've now set it to a less restrictive time, and then end parental supervision. If the teen does that, they just go back into the more protective settings. The system knows that that's happened, that parental supervision has finished, and we'll just place them back in the more restrictive and the more protective settings. The other example would be private by default. So all teens under the age of 18, when they're in the teen account experience, you know, all teens on Instagram in the UK that we know to be under the age of 18 will have a private account by default. And so if the teen says, I want to have a public account, the parent might say, that's fine, we'll do that. I'll give approval through the parental supervision tool. A couple of months later, the teenager decides that they want to end parental supervision. Fine, they can do that, but their account will be reset back to a private account. So it's really kind of helping the parent know that, yeah, they're in this protective, they're in this, you know, parental supervision experience with their teen, but if that ends, they just automatically get moved into those more protective experiences that they started off with when they entered into the teen account experience.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take your meta hat off now and put your parent hat on. I want to talk to parent, Tara. You said before in the interview that you've got two children yourself. You've got a teenager who's 15 and a son who's 12.
Yep. Or I get yes.
So a daughter who's 15 and a son who's 12. And how have you, as a tech professional and someone who's been key in placing these safety measures, on Instagram. How's your journey been with your children navigating social media use?
Yeah, so I mean, they are my sounding board, as you would well imagine, particularly my daughter, because she's had social media for a couple of years. I'm obviously very strict with my teenage son. He doesn't have social media, he doesn't have Instagram yet. But he
will
games.
He when he's
I think he will. I think he's naturally curious because his mom works for Instagram. I will be in that knowledge, like all other parents in the UK, that he'll be in the teen account experience. I do have conversations with them about why it's really important to put the correct age on their account. And I would reiterate that because while we have ways of finding teens who might have misstated their age, it is really important that we know and understand the age of that teen when they're using Instagram. So I have that conversation. I have the same conversation with my teenagers' friends as well. I probably board them around it as well. And I do. I use them a bit of a sounding board. I think there's a few things that are interesting. Like one is that they're probably a bit less worried than, you know, I obviously work on the kind of the very small percentage of teenagers who do have a bad experience on Instagram. And, we don't want that happening. And we're really always very sorry if your teen does have a negative experience on Instagram. But it is a very, very, very small minority. My teenage daughter and my 15-year-old will tell me over and over again, if I come and say to her, have you ever come across this? Have you ever come across that? She's always saying, Mom, like, relax. That's not the experience I have. But that's not to say that it's not important. It is. So they do sometimes kind of ground me a little bit, which is good. I think, you know, all parents have, you know, we've been out there in the big wide world. We worry about our teenagers. We worry about our children. That's our job to do, right? So my teenage daughter will often do a great job of just reminding me that actually, you know, she's having a positive experience when she's using social media. And as you say, I think they do actually really appreciate a more protective experience. They want to know that they're having like a positive time. And I think that's something that actually they kind of naturally select that to make sure that they're having they choose the apps that help them have the best time. So I think they do, particularly as they get older, they really do. They're a bit better maybe at restricting their time than some adults are, including myself, honestly.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of role modeling that I try to do. And I think all parents, we struggle with this as well, which is, you know, you'll tell your teenager to put the phone down, but then you yourself will be looking at the phone, but then making excuses for why. You'll say, well, I need to respond to this because it's really important or whatever. So I think role modeling is important. And our teens, I'm sure your listeners' teens are exactly the same. They will hold us to account. They will say, Mom, you're on your phone. Or you're not listening, and they're great for that. I have to say they're great for reminding me. I would also, as I said before, like I would encourage people to look at. There's so many resources out there, and I know we're all really time restricted. Whether you go onto the Family Centre on Meta or onto the Parents Own Resources Centre, things like that, there are loads of, you know, Internet Matters. There's loads of brilliant organisations out there that have really thought long and hard about what are the things that parents are most concerned about. And even if you spend 10 minutes on a Friday morning just looking at some of this stuff, I find it really good. So one of the things I learned 3 years ago when we updated our parents guide on Instagram was having conversations with your teenagers in the car rather than across from each other.
Side by side. Yeah,
side by side, watching TV, going for a walk. I find in the car, and I actually found myself coming up with fake reasons to put my daughter in the car, just have a chat. Yeah. I think she's onto it now because she's a bit older. But I found that incredibly helpful. And I really did notice that when we were on a walk or, you know, in the car or going to the supermarket, actually sometimes they do open up in a very different way to kind of around the dinner table, which I think does put a lot of pressure on teens. So I try to take my experience into work. I try to not take too of my experience from work back home. And you know what, I think like all parents of teens, like I'm so encouraged by their sense of humor, by actually how they do think about these things. They're much more thoughtful, I think, than we give them credit for. And in fairness, I think schools in the UK have been brilliant at really, really educating our teens about their time on social media, and particularly around things like bullying and harassment. Like bullying happens sometimes in school, often in school, and then it, you know, comes home, and then it might be, you know, made worse by any kind of social media. But it's an offline as well as an online problem, and I think schools are brilliant at really trying to tackle that with assemblies and that kind of thing. So I think I'm encouraged by our teens and how really mature they are around some of these issues. But I do think you're right that they actually really appreciate these tools. They don't really want to think about it. They just want to know what's happening in the background.
Yeah. I was going to ask a parent-to-parent question as well, along the lines of experts would often suggest parents should be curious. Be curious in your child's social media use, be curious in what they're doing, what they're interested in, what they're looking at, what they're scrolling. There's a fine line between being curious and sticking your nose in.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I'm not saying I've got it right. It's difficult. But what would your advice be to a parent to say, be curious without sort of intervening to a point where your child just then resists any sort of interest or questioning?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think there's a few things. One is the kind of not to judge or to jump to conclusions when your teen does potentially open up about something, about a message they might have been sent or a post they might have seen. They might have not been invited to a party and seen on a social media platform that this party happened, and that might upset them. And so I think when they do come to you, to just listen, be in listening mode. I mean, that's kind of a, you know, it sounds easy, doesn't it? And we're all so busy that sometimes it's hard. But I think, you know, taking the time and having the patience to do that. I think more broadly, your question is, it's really, really important, because the right of the child, the teenager, to privacy, particularly as they're aging up, like as they're moving up the teenage years, is really, really important. And I honestly have struggled with my beautiful little, you know, children becoming teenagers, because they do change. You know, they've gone from like smelling lovely and their skin's perfect and everything, and it's all starting to change. And if my children listen to this, they're still beautiful. But it's, you know, it's I think parents struggle with that. And so how you might have responded to your 6 and 7 year old speaking to you or raising a question with you, I think you have to think about it very differently when it's your teen. And as you say, be curious. One of the places where we really thought long and hard about this was about insights into who's messaging your teen. So I mentioned before, so if you have set up parental supervision on Instagram, you'll see a dashboard, and the dashboard will show you who your teen has been messaging over the last 7 days. And it will also show you who your teen follows on Instagram. We debated long and hard about whether or not we should be giving parents access to messaging itself, like into the IG. So your listeners who might not be using Instagram, we have a messaging part of Instagram, and it's actually really integral to Instagram. If you're liking or reacting to a post, it goes into your direct messages. So, we thought really long and hard about whether or not that we should be giving parents that access. And again, with experts, we talked about these issues. We really brought in a range of experts through our, we have a youth advisory board and a safety advisory board, and talked to them about it. Because there is a level of privacy that a teen expects to have, particularly as they're getting older. But there's also a level of understanding and insights that a parent rightly wants to have and know. And so we think we've struck the right balance where you can see in this dashboard the last 7 days and who your teenager has been messaging. And you can see who they're following. You can actually see also who they may have blocked. And then hopefully that allows the parent to have the offline conversation side by side in the car on the way to the supermarket to say, hey, I noticed that you are messaging this person a lot over the last 7 days. What's going on there? Or that you're not messaging them anymore. Or that you've blocked this person. How come? Why did you do that? So we hope that it gives parents that level of information and insight that they can further the conversation without it infringing on the privacy of that young person. The kind of, like in my day, like, you know, looking into a teenager's diary. We think that's a step too far. We hope we've got it in the right spot. I mean, I'd be keen to understand from your listeners as to whether they do think we've got it in the right place. But it's certainly something that we really try to balance that privacy and kind of safety space so that it works for both parents and teens.
Sure. You talked as well, just jumping back to a point about you encouraging the parents to go on Instagram or any social media or app, you know, whatever your kids are doing, get involved as well, have a look at the content. Some research shows that content that gets displayed, we might have a different reaction to it than a teenager, because the teenagers are digital natives and they've always seen that type of content and used to consuming that content or ignoring that content or muting that content. Do you think that would be a piece of advice to parents, is to have a good scroll, see some content, and don't necessarily feel the fear straight away when you see something, because it may be that your child doesn't quite see that content in the same way through the same lens as you.
Yeah, look, absolutely. And I pick up my teenager's phone all the time and look at the what's called the explore page on Instagram. That kind of gives me a good sense of, because the kind of the joy of Instagram is that we know your age, we know what you're interested in, and we're recommending content to you that's connected to what you're interested in. So I do, yeah. And I think it's, you know, with the teenagers' approval, like these conversations, I think, should be had, where you're saying, like, every so often I'm going to pick up your phone and have a look. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, I mean, my teenagers would do the same thing with my phone, right? Because they're picking it up and they're looking at a WhatsApp message from my husband or whatever. And so, you know, I think we should all feel very comfortable with that. I would say, again, what if you have an Instagram account and you're an adult with a certain interest in maybe politics or news or, you know, White Lotus or whatever you're looking at, you know, very topical at the moment, is that your teenagers are not going to see some of that content because they're in the sensitive content control on Instagram, and because we know that they're under the age of 16, and so they're in more of these protective settings. So you shouldn't assume that when you see something on Instagram or you're being recommended an account on Instagram that your teen would come across the same thing. Like, that's, you know, we really do try to make the experience very personal to you. And we think that people really find joy in that and find real value in that, that it's not just the same experience for everyone. But in the Family Centre on Meta, and I can't exactly remember the name of which article this is, but there's a great one, which is just a list of questions, like thought starter kind of questions for your teen. And some of the things, like, you know, if you come across something that you know isn't factually true, what do you do? Like, do you question it? Because my is a person born in the 70s, if I see something, I usually go to the BBC to check something.
Verify it.
And so if a teenager comes across anything on any social media and they think, oh, I wonder if that's true, what do they do? And the other one is around content that, like, they find kind of boring and they're not interested in. Actually, that they can tell the algorithm that they're not interested in that. I always say that to my teenagers. It's like, if you're not interested, because people change their interests. One of the tools we launched on Instagram last year was a reset button, which is that, you know, you might have been really interested in horse
climbing
riding
or something.
When when you're 13 and 14, and now you're totally not interested and you don't do it anymore. But, you know, the algorithm, the recommendations are still giving you that kind of content and you want to change it. And so you can reset so that it basically resets kind of from the start, which might be a bit frustrating for some people, but for others, they might find real value in it. On Reels and Explore and on your feed, you're not going to, you know, it's a digital reset. It's kind of like a refresh. And again, we launched that last year. I think, again, it's just one of the other tools, many tools, that we try to help people who want to, like, personalize their experience. I think that's something that people do really appreciate.
I think that's great because there's a level of self-monitoring as well as sort of parental supervision as well for the teenagers then, isn't
there?
Exactly. And what would be your last piece of advice for parents of teens navigating social media?
I probably would say, like, you know, we are all in it together. It is, you know, please don't ever feel that it's, you know, you're overwhelmed and everyone else is doing this brilliantly. I think we all feel it. I think it's, and not just on social media, I would say more broadly, like, the phone. It's the phone that we talk about at home, like, put the phone down. Where is your phone? They're the conversations that we have. So I think, you know, you're not alone is probably the first thing I'd say. The second thing is we really have tried to build this Teen Accounts experience or Teen Accounts tool with you at the heart of it, with parents at the absolute heart of it. We've listened to parents. We've built it, like, for parents. And we really do think teenagers are appreciating it. The fact that we have now 54 million teens moved into the Teen Account experience, I think, is testament to that. And the fact that so many teens, like 97% of teens, are not changing any of those, you know, more protective experiences to less protective, I think, is testament to that as well. And I'd say the work is never done. I really might sound trite, but, like, we are, as soon as we build something and we send it out and we, you know, look at the data. As I said, more data will be coming because it's still in the global rollout phase. We're constantly trying to make it better. We're constantly trying to improve on it. So I think your listeners will probably see more and more coming to Teen Accounts over the next year or so.
Thank you so much, Tara. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise and all those valuable parenting tips as well. I know I've made a note of a few myself as I approach teendom with my eldest.
I think it's really important as you're, you know, like, that tween age, it's like when you do, I feel the pressure really starts to mount. It did for me when my daughter was kind of 10 and 11. And so they, you know, while we really hope they are not on Instagram, they should be 13 and above. I do think for parents who are out there who have younger, like, older children and younger tweens, just start to have those conversations and make it really a normal part of, you know, kind of daily family life, so that it's not something scary. Because I think it is, I think we all do feel, I've certainly felt a pressure when my daughter was that bit younger to get her the phone and then on social media, and, like, do feel like you can just say no as well.
It moves fast. So it moves fast, doesn't it? Because one minute they've got the phone, next minute they're asking for something else, and someone else has gone to the app, and they want this and they want that. And you're living a busy life, and you've just got home from work, and you're putting the tea, and it's a tea on the table. And, you know, it's quite hard to just, quite often, I'm sort of the boring mum where I'm a bit like, can we slow down? Can we pause this chat? And can we pick it up again at the weekend? Because I've got to think about this, and I can't think about it whilst getting the washing out the washing machine, and I'm sticking something in the air fryer, and someone else wants their packed lunch box washing for tomorrow.
I mean,
and all the rest of it.
They're cheap negotiators, aren't they? They're just negotiating with you constantly. And I think it's, like, in some ways it's brilliant because that's, like, a life skill, isn't it? But it's exhausting.
Yeah. And they do come at you at your weakest times. Like I say, at the end of a long day when you're juggling at spinning plates, it's like, Mum, can I just have this? Hoping you just go, oh, fine, yes, whatever.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which I do some of that as well. But yeah, it's sort of learning to go, hang on, let's just put the brakes on here. This is a serious discussion. I've got to think this through. Because as I say to my tween, once I say yes, that's it then for the rest of your life. Yeah. And and you're only 12, so actually if I can just slow this conversation down just a little bit longer, and do this properly and think about this properly, yeah, but you know, they're impatient and they want stuff, they want shiny stuff the whole time.
They do. Yeah, it's completely normal, but yeah, stand your ground. It's hard. I think it's not an easy space to be in, but I hope people do know that, you know, there is a lot going on in the background to keep your teenagers, when they do join social media, do join Instagram, as safe as they possibly can be. And we hope that that gives parents a level of reassurance. Like I said, it will never be perfect. Like, you know, that's unfortunately not how life works out.
Yeah, I do know of various teenagers who have multiple Instagram accounts as well, which is a hard one to tackle for you guys as well.
It is, and I won't give away the secrets of how we do it, but we do behind the scenes. We do a lot of work to look for anyone, in fact, who's got multiple accounts. Not that it's not okay to have multiple accounts. We find a lot of people have for lots of different reasons. But we want to make sure that any teen under the age of 18 who has an account on Instagram is in the teen account experience. And so we really do endeavour to make sure that we're doing that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And I'm sure your tips and advice will be so useful to the parents in our community, whether they're on the beginning of their journey navigating social media or in the thick of it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Tara, thank you so much for joining us and sharing both your expertise and your personal experiences. You have some really valuable advice which will help our parenting community. I know I've learned some brilliant tips today which I'm intending to put into place, such as exploring Family Control Centre and staying curious about my children's online world. If you want to learn more or try out these safety features, head to instagram.com/teenaccounts. We'll also have a handy article on netmoms.com with all the information we talked about today. And don't forget, you can get in touch with us on social channels at Netmums. And if you've liked what you've heard, we'd love you to give us a 5-star rating. Press the follow button and share the podcast on all your socials, especially your parent WhatsApp group. Be sure to subscribe to the Netmums podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at Netmums. Thanks for listening and see you next time.